الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in Islam, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi. In one narration, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever recites Salat upon me 50 times a day, صافحته يوم القيامة, I will shake hands with that person on the day of judgment. Imagine such a great sa'ada, fortune, in that our sinful hands will gain the privilege of touching the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we recite Durood Sharif 50 times a day. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to recite Salat ala Nabi in abundance and minimum 50 times a day, inshallah, to attain the blessings of this hadith. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Honorable brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani channel, there are many fada'il, excellences pertaining to studying and seeking sacred knowledge, knowledge of Islam, the hadith, the Quran, the aqwal of the ulama in this regard are countless. Now, whatever it mentions in the Quran regarding the virtue of knowledge, or in the hadith collection, or when the ulama speak about knowledge and its benefit, its virtue, they are speaking about religious knowledge, not contemporary knowledge. Even though studying contemporary knowledge, worldly knowledge, is not forbidden, and if one studies with good intentions, he'll be rewarded, but the Quran, hadith mention a plethora, an abundance of dara'il regarding the virtues of sacred knowledge, knowledge of Quran, knowledge of hadith. Because ultimately, it is knowledge of Quran and hadith that will bring you to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will grant you ma'rifatullah, gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is this knowledge that will save you in the akhirah. Now to begin, let me mention an example through a story of how our aslaf rahimahumullahu ta'ala, our pious predecessors, valued this knowledge of Quran and hadith more than everything. There's a narrator who's found in the collections of hadith, and his name is Baqi' bin Makhlad, a hadith master. His story is so motivating, so inspiring. Listen to this story. Baqi' bin Makhlad came from a wealthy family, an affluent family, and he resided in Andalusia, modern-day Spain. As we know, there was Muslim rule over that land. Now, he came from a wealthy family, yet Allah Ta'ala had bestowed him with this passion to seek knowledge of hadith, sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to memorize, preserve them, learn them, study them. And he had heard that during that time, the greatest scholar of hadith alive, who Allah Ta'ala granted great renown to, great fame to, was none other than Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. The great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, one of the four mujtahid imams, who is a founder of a school of fiqh, the Hanbali school of fiqh. And he was a great muhaddith who had memorized hundreds of thousands of ahadith himself. And he was the leading expert in hadith. Now Baqi bin Makhlad rahimahullah ta'ala resided in Spain. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was all the way in Baghdad. Now think about it. He couldn't just go online and book a ticket, a plane ticket, an aeroplane, go to an airport in Spain, land in Baghdad Sharif, and then go to the court of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Obviously this was not possible. We're talking about 1300 years ago. So what did he do? He set out on this journey to seek knowledge of hadith. He boarded a ship from Spain, took him across the ocean. The reports mention that due to the adverse conditions, the ship had to stop, possibly in North Africa somewhere. And from there, he traveled all the way to Baghdad when the weather was better, when the conditions were better. Again he traveled. He didn't change his mind because of what transpired, because of what happened. And he narrates that he had to survive on leaves and other things. So Baqi bin Makhlad, this lover of hadith, the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, traveled all the way from Spain, Andalusia, all the way to Baghdad in Iraq. When he reaches there, he asks the people, the ulama, the scholarly people, people of know-how, and he says, guide me to the court of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, because I want to learn hadith from him. And to his surprise, the scholars, the people told him that unfortunately, you will not be able to gain access to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal right now. He asked, why? I've come all the way from Spain to Baghdad to learn hadith from the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They say there's been a fitna, a tribulation, and the rulers of the time, they've turned against the likes of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And right now he's on house arrest. There's a curfew. People can't meet him. How are you going to study hadith from him? It's not possible. And we know in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, ma'adhallah, some people began to promote and push this wrong belief that the Quran is the created speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the warrior he was, he stood against that. He refuted them. And he was on house arrest. Baqi bin Makhlad, as you can imagine, is very concerned right now. He's very upset as well at the same time. He's traveled all the way from Europe, Spain. He's in Baghdad right now. And he's been told that he can't access Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So he begins to think. Allah Ta'ala has granted us a brain. He begins to think, how do I somehow reach the court of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal so that I can learn hadith from him? He's thinking. First of all, he meets somebody who says, I can't tell you where he lives. But upon the israr, upon the insistence of Baqi bin Makhlad, he says, okay, we will go past his house, and with my eyes I will indicate towards that house and you'll know where it is, but then I'll be on my way. Baqi bin Makhlad said, that's fine. So this happened. Now, alhamdulillah, he knows where Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is residing as well. He knows the exact location. Now the next thing is, how do I actually get time of the great Imam every day? The security, this people watching, observing, how can I learn hadith from him? Allahu Akbar, look at his thirst for knowledge. Eventually, the idea that he came up with was that I am going to dress as a beggar. as a faqir. He comes from a wealthy family himself. He took off his imama. Clothes became tatty and disheveled hair, everything. Placed a bowl around his neck as if he was a beggar. And he would walk up and down that particular area, that street, that road. And he would call out to people. He would say, I'm a faqir. Give me something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah reward you. Think about it. This is hard on the nafs. People have self-respect. But this was his love for the science of hadith and his yearning, his passion to learn hadith of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But he said, this is accepted. I don't really mind. So he's walking and he reaches the house of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He knocks on the door. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal opens it and sees him. And the great Imam is about to give some money to him, because he thinks he's a beggar, an actual beggar. That's when Baqi bin Makhlad rahimahullah ta'ala said, oh Imam, I'm not actually a beggar. This is a ploy, this is something that I've used to come to your house because I've heard you're on house arrest. I've traveled all the way from Spain just to learn hadith from you. Please, please, tell me there's a way that I can learn hadith from you. Even if it means every day I'll come for a few minutes at your door dressed like this. I knock on your door, you teach me some hadith, please. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was very impressed. This person has crossed the shores, risked his life, come from a different continent. He's an ashiq of hadith. He's a lover of hadith. He loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a true student of knowledge. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, that's fine. I'll teach you hadith. Come every day like this, and in the few minutes that we will be conversing, I will teach you hadith. Baqi bin Makhlad says, for 2 years this continued. 2 whole years I was dressed as a beggar. I would knock on the door of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi. He would come out, he would teach me hadith. I would go away, I would memorize the hadith. I would come back the next day, read it to the great Imam, my teacher now, and he would teach me further hadith. For 2 years he studied like this. Look at the conditions. All the while he knows that if somebody finds out that he's not actually a beggar, if somebody finds out that this is what he's doing, he will face the repercussions of that. He's risking his life to learn the knowledge of hadith. After 2 years, Allah Ta'ala alleviated that trial. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was no longer on house arrest. There was no curfew anymore. And everything was back to normal. So Baqi bin Makhlad, he says, I started to wear normal clothes now. I wasn't dressed as a beggar, as a faqir. I started to wear normal clothes. Everything had turned back to normal. And now when I would attend the durus, the lessons of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal would show so much love and affection for me, towards me, that he would make me sit with him. And he would tell people that this is Baqi bin Makhlad and this is his story. Meaning he came all the way from Spain and he wasn't going to go without actually learning hadith. This is what he would do. He would dress himself as a beggar, knock on my door. I would teach him hadith. He would go away, learn it. And this continued for 2 years. One day, Baqi bin Makhlad is not in the lesson. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal asks the people, where is he? Where is Baqi bin Makhlad? Imagine the hadith expert of the time, the great Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, asking about your well-being. The people reply that Baqi bin Makhlad has fallen ill. He's ill at the moment, so he can't attend the lessons. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, let's go and visit him. So they all go. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the other students, they go and inquire about the health of Baqi bin Makhlad. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal prays for him. And people observe that sight, that the Imam of his time is coming to meet one of his students, taking time out of his busy schedule. But it goes to show how much love Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal had for true students of knowledge. So this was briefly the story of Baqi bin Makhlad, who, despite the fitan of the time, how Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was on house arrest, there was a curfew, the environment wasn't conducive, but nevertheless, Baqi bin Makhlad still became a hadith expert by dressing himself as a beggar, going to the door of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, learning hadith from him, and he himself became an authority in hadith. What do we learn from this? We learn that our aslaf had true passion, jazba, yearning, longing to learn hadith. And they would go to, some would say, extreme lengths. But nothing was extreme in their eyes because they're learning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But today, let's look at our state. That we don't have to travel to different continents. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has created so much ease today that in our localities, we have masajid, we have ulama, we have scholars who are teaching Quran and hadith. Take for example, Dawood Islami. Dawood Islami has ijtima'at, gatherings, darsan-e-nizami courses taught, the Quran is being taught. But how many of us take advantage? We could say literally it's at our doorstep, these services. We can walk to the masjid or we sit in the car, 5 minutes drive, and we're there at the masjid. But how many of us come? And the answer to that can be seen in the emptiness of those classes, unfortunately. That the Alim Sahib is there, but there's a handful of people. And cast your mind to that time where people had to travel from city to city, country to country, continent to continent, like Baqi bin Makhlad, but they never gave up. So our jazba, unfortunately, in learning sacred knowledge has died down. Perhaps one reason for this is because we have become so materialistic. We will only learn that knowledge which will give us monetary benefit and straight away as well. I will only learn that thing which will result in me having a skill which will help me to earn. And when we look at Quran and Hadith, the science of Quran and Hadith, the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, bazaahir, when we study an ayah of the Quran, when we memorize the Quran, there's nobody who's going to give us a blank check. There's nobody going to give us money. Yet we forget that the reward that Allah Ta'ala will give us is far beyond any monetary gift that you can receive in this world, any job that you can attain in this world. This dunya is temporary, transient, temporal. So perhaps one reason is this, because materialism has overwhelmed our hearts and minds. And we feel that if I study hadith, then I won't earn any money from it. But this is, ma'azallah, not the way a Muslim should think. A Muslim should think that I'm learning this knowledge sincerely for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did the Sahaba leave Al-Madinatul Munawwara and travel all the way to Egypt for one hadith? Because they valued sacred knowledge. They knew the maqam of sacred knowledge. They knew that this was the inheritance of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. They knew that the ulama who had this knowledge were inheritors of the Prophets alayhi salam. Innamal ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The hadith tells us that the ulama are the inheritors of the Prophets alayhi salam. This is why the Sahaba would leave. And the famous narration, that when the Sahabi reached Egypt or Syria, in another narration, and he was asked, did you come for any other reason? Tijarat or something else? He said, no. The only reason, the only maqsad is to hear this hadith, and then he was on his way back to Medina Sharif. So their sincerity, their thirst for sacred knowledge was beyond comprehension, beyond imagination. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us just a drop of that thirst for knowledge. And when we seek that knowledge, when we gain that knowledge, subhanallah, we will see the blessings of that manifest in our communities. Today, why is there so much corruption? Why is there so much hatred which results in violence, which results in feuds, people defrauding each other? Why is all of this taking place? And simply, it's because of a lack of Islamic knowledge. We don't know how Islam guides us in this regard. If people knew that the first thing from hukukul ibad that will be asked about on the Day of Judgment are killings, stabbings, people taking others' lives, do you think people will be so lax in this regard? People will just be carefree in this regard and think of it as nothing? Of course they won't. But because we don't have that knowledge, unfortunately, because we don't have knowledge of Quran and Hadith, how can we be guided? then we're going to turn to social media for guidance. And believe me when I say this, Allah forbid, but the amount of kufr that is being spread by laymen even on social media, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala save us. People uploading messages they do not even know the true meaning of. They are ascribing divinity to normal people. In the name of Islam, their guide is akin to Allah. They're saying stuff like this. People on social media, ma'azallah, mockingly, jokingly saying things like, even Allah Ta'ala cannot help you. Even Allah Ta'ala cannot do anything in this situation. They're saying it jokingly, but they don't realize that that is a statement that makes one lose their iman. So when somebody doesn't have knowledge, and there's misguidance, gumrahi everywhere, then this is what happens. So we need to come back to this path of seeking sacred knowledge. In this regard, let me just mention an ayat of the Quran, the tafsir of that ayat, and some more, inshallah, waqiyat, inspirational waqiyat, stories of our aslaf. First of all, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is in Surah Tawbah, verse 122. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ Translation. So why should it not be that a group from each community goes out, that they may gain understanding of religion, and upon returning warn their people in the hope that they may refrain from what is necessary to refrain from. So this ayat of the Quran speaks about traveling in order to learn sacred knowledge. We understand that not everybody can become an alim. The way that Allah Ta'ala has created this world, people have different roles. If everybody began to seek sacred knowledge and become a scholar, then who would do the other roles? So the Quran tells us that a group from amongst you, in each community, should go out and become scholars of the deen. And then they should come back and they should warn others, teach others about halal and haram, so that people avoid what is prohibited. People act upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the tafsir of this, in Tafsir Kabir, which is also known as مفاتيح الغيب of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayh, he says العلم النافع, beneficial knowledge can only be acquired through traveling. That knowledge, sacred knowledge which is gained in safar, in travel, is beneficial knowledge. And in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan, it states a person cannot attain mastery in knowledge as long as he does not travel in order to acquire it. So those blessings that are gained in travel and seeking knowledge cannot be gained by sitting at home and seeking knowledge. Although today we cannot deny that there are many means of gaining sacred knowledge. There's a lot of ease in this regard. But even I would say going to your local masjid, this is a travel. Make an intention that you are traveling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek sacred knowledge. Find your local alims, your ulama, where are they? Meet them, sit with them, learn from them. This is also you traveling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And what does the hadith state? Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is the rabi, the narrator. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who travels on a path in order to seek knowledge, Allah ta'ala will make the path to paradise easy for him. Allah will make the path to paradise easy for him. Everyone wants the path to Jannah to become easy for them. And one great way of doing that, as mentioned in this hadith, is to learn sacred knowledge. Another hadith, which is in Jami' Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadli. Sayyidina Safwan bin Asal radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who leaves his home in search of knowledge, the angels spread out their wings for him out of contentment for what he is doing. They're pleased that he is becoming a talibul ilm. They lower the wings, who? The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are infallible, they're sinless. They're created from nur. This creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads its wings out for who? The students of knowledge. In the dunya you have the red carpet, which in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no value. They say they laid out the red carpet. Here, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are laying out their wings for whom? Those who are students of Quran and Hadith. Those who go out in force of learning Quran and Hadith. So this should be a reminder for us that today we're wasting a lot of time. Let's be honest. We have so many excuses. We have time for everything else, but when it comes to deen, learning deen, we're very neglectful, very lazy. And if you ask commoners, people, basic questions, unfortunately, they're not able to answer it. And iman is strengthened through knowledge. Your faith is strengthened through knowledge of Quran and Hadith. And your i'tiqad, your belief, your doctrine, if it's not sound, then how can you gain blessings? If your aqidah is not the same as the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt, how can you gain blessings? And we have to learn. We have to learn. Time is of the essence. A lot of fitan. Day by day, the tribulations are increasing. We know that. Everyone knows that. But how to tackle that? The Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith that at that time, when people are losing faith, there is fitna everywhere. How to tackle it? What is the best weapon? That is sacred knowledge. Nasiha Sitta, the hadith mentions sacred knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the more powerful your iman will be, the more you will be able to protect your iman as well. So, today we discussed sacred knowledge, how our Salaf traveled from continent to continent to seek sacred knowledge. And we gave the example of Baqi' bin Makhlad, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and his beautiful story of how he traveled from Spain, Andalusia, all the way to Baghdad to study at the feet of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. And the manner in which he did so was phenomenal. Subhanallah. These were true lovers of hadith, knowledge of Quran. May Allah ta'ala make us like them. Alhamdulillah. In this regard, we also touched upon how Dawat Islami is serving the Ummah as well. Dawat Islami is an organization which is there, which has been formed to propagate the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. Right now, you're hearing and learning about Quran and Sunnah. This is the platform of Dawat Islami. When you come to the Ijtima', the gatherings every Thursday, again, you hear about Quran and Sunnah. People who study the Alim course, Dars-e-Nizami, the traditional alim course, they are also learning Quran and Hadith. So there's so many avenues, so many ways. So people can't complain that, where can I go to learn? Dawat Islami itself is providing numerous opportunities. And those people who say we're extra busy, okay, that's accepted, you're extra busy. You have very little time in your schedule. Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, has provided opportunities to people from the comfort of their own homes. Whatever time you can give, whenever it can be arranged, you can do your studies online as well. Although the best way is face to face, bil mushafaha. But again, if somebody puts that forward as a reason for not being able to study, then alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has accommodated for this as well. That you can learn to become a scholar from the comfort of your own homes as well. The Alim course is also available online as well. Amir al-Sunnah Dawat Barakatum al-Aliyah says that one child per household should be a scholar. So if Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with numerous children, 4 children, 5 children, at least make one an alim. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to accept what has been said, to understand it, and to act upon it, and to become tulabul ilm. Okay, if we can't become scholars, at least become students of knowledge for the rest of your life. Because remember, knowledge is sought from the cradle all the way till the grave. As long as we're breathing, that's an opportunity for us to increase our knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate our heart and mind with knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are calling upon you, Allah.